From the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network studios in Des Moines, I'm Mark Magnuson, and welcome to Iowa Ag Matters. In today's show, Dustin is joined by Senator Joni Ernst to discuss the potential of another farm bill extension. Riley brings us the latest South America weather and crop update with Greg McBride of Allendale. And Andy provides another conversation from the latest episode of Pods of Potential. It's time now to welcome our hosts, Dustin Huffman and Andy Peterson.
Well, the sun is shining here on a Wednesday morning. It's a beautiful day out there. A promise of rain coming up in the forecast, but we'll take it any way we can get it. Of course, not enough to bust the drought, but hey, we'll take a half an inch to an inch for what they're calling for, at least from the National Weather Service said this morning. And Dustin Huffman here, Iowa Ag Matters. Andy Peterson, you're with us, but you're already working on the next Pods of Potential episode out on the road right now, heading to talk with your next subject. Tell us what you got going on.
Well, I found the one place in Iowa that still has snow, maybe one or two places that still has snow, Dustin.
Well, where would that be? Except for my freezer,
yeah,
I don't know unless it's got snow.
West of Boone on Highway 30. And very special episode of Pods of Potential on location in Western Iowa today. Be out in a couple of weeks, but I can tell you we're going to dive into cover crop termination, as there are certainly a lot of different strategies that can be utilized. Mother Nature obviously in charge of a lot of those things, but there are some concerns to be managed too, pests and all of that. So it should be a great conversation. And of course, we'll have portions of that here on Iowa Ag Matters and the full podcast out in a couple of weeks.
All right, well, let's go ahead and get the show kicked off. Jim McCormick's here with Mark Magnuson. They're going to talk about what's going on in those grain markets here as we start this Wednesday.
Joined today by Jim McCormick of AgMarket.net for our opening market discussion. Jim, what are we seeing taking place in the grains?
You know, right now, at least in the corn and beans, it was a relatively quiet overnight session, and maybe we'll see that again today. Wheat, on the other hand, continues to struggle. It was making new lows for the move. The reality, Mark, is on the wheat side of the equation, we're just not competitively priced in the world market. Russia continues to drive the prices down. They've got a decent crop. The Ukrainians are doing the same thing. They're trying to buy market share as well as finance war by selling wheat. So we're just not getting that wheat export business, and that's allowing the wheat market to fall. But like I said, the corn and the bean side of the equation, relatively quiet. Maybe we're just marking time till we get to that March WASD here at the end of the week. But I think if you're looking for something really to kind of break this corn market out of its kind of a funk here, I don't think the March report's going to do it, unfortunately, but that's the next big hurdle we have coming at us.
And it does seem like the bad news for, United States commodities just continues to pile up. When you look at things happening like Ukraine, for example, being able to offer cheaper corn to China and China coming in and making that deal.
Well, that's it. I mean, that's the problem we've got right now. I mean, we are just not price competitive, like on the corn. We're price competitive in South America, but the Ukrainians are undercutting us there. On the beans, we're not price competitive at all. Right now, our best bet, near-term, Mark, what I see on the forefront is it's probably going to be a supply situation that maybe breaks us out of this sideways to lower move. As we get into that Safrina crop season, they're just finishing up planting it. There are some weather guys out there forecasting, saying, hey, as we get into March, into April, they're seeing some dryness issues possibly, essentially, I don't know what the word is, pop up, I guess I'm going to use, in parts of Brazil. If you get any kind of questions that the Safrina crop's not there, that could run it. The other question is the size of the Brazilian bean crop. The average trade guess for Friday is right around 153, down from 156. But you've got some groups that are below 150. You got some groups down to the mid to 140s. If that comes to fruition and that bean crop is closer to 140, maybe that's what's going to finally break this market out of its kind of sideways lower move as it forces demand back to the U.S. shores.
Is there anything else on Friday that you're going to turn to right away in the WASD report, Jim, and say, hey, I was looking to find out this number and now we have it?
Well, right now, I think, like I said, the trade's going to look for a little bit of adjustments in the ending stocks. Corn ending stocks, the last report, 2172. This year, this time around, we're guessing 2159. A slight decline in there. Bean ending stocks, 315, maybe a slight uptick, 319. I think the real number is going to be South America. Like I said, the anticipation is they're going to walk it down. But, if the government might surprise us, if they take a harder, whack at it and happen to drop that crop, let's say below 150, that I think could make this trade Friday a little bit more exciting.
Well, we'll have more from Jim McCormick of AgMarket.net talking livestock coming up later on in the program. Andy Peterson standing by now. He has the three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Number three.
It should be coming, that key waiver to allow for E15 sales year-round in 2024, the final piece to a puzzle of finally solving the issue of allowing E15 sales year-round permanently.
I think it's consistent with the last 2 years when they issued a waiver. Whenever it was done last year, I'm pretty sure that they will have the resources and the data necessary to make the decision and have this decision stick.
So much needed good news for Iowa corn producers.
Number two.
Seeing a modest improvement in farmer sentiment, according to the Purdue University CME Group Ag Economy Barometer, which rose modestly in February to a reading of 111. The values don't mean a whole lot other than for comparison purposes. Now, wheat crop prices continue to weigh on financial expectations as mid-February Eastern Corn Belt cash prices for corn and soybeans were 8% lower than just 2 months ago.
Number one.
Starting with the soil as a key driver of yield, it may be somewhat of a new concept, but making healthy decisions for your soil can certainly improve your bottom line. Stephen Gillens is Practical Farmers of Iowa Senior Research Manager and says the results of several crop rotation, no-till, and cover crop trials will help you make the best decision in your operation.
We find that farmers make all kinds of investments and decisions on the farm, but they don't always have scientific data from their own fields to either inform those decisions or help them make those decisions about whatever they're kind of curious about. And historically, we found at Practical Farmers that by taking part in on-farm research trials, farmers have a chance to put things to the test scientifically. And in this case, we are focusing in on soil health investments on the farm.
He says they're looking for participants at practicalfarmers.org. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
If you thought soybeans were only used for tofu, think again. From tires and adhesives to next-generation asphalt, soy is used to create over 1,000 industrial products and counting. Thanks to your soy checkoff investment, the sky's the limit for Iowa soybean farmers. Oh, and speaking of skies, did I mention soy is also used in sustainable aviation fuel? The Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soy Checkoff, is driven to deliver for Iowa's 40,000 soybean farmers. Learn more at iasoybeans.com.
Well, let me tell you, one of the top conversations had at Commodity Classic with the fellow farm broadcasters was the farm bill. And the rumors are that they're already ready to kick the can down the road into 2025. A lot of farmers say that's not an option. We're going to talk with Senator Joni Ernst, who sits on that Senate Ag Committee, next on Iowa Ag Matters.
Well, it seems like we've been having the 2023 Farm Bill conversation forever, probably because we have been. This started like 3 years ago. Oh, you either laugh or you cry about it. There's no in between with the different field meetings. And then, of course, the extension. We're into 2024 now with really no end in sight. That's kind of the scary part. Here on Iowa Ag Matters, Andy and Dustin now visiting with Senator Ernst.
And, you know, he brought up the ideas of Farm Bill and E15. And believe me, I was just down at Commodity Classic in Houston last week. And you're talking to farmers from all over the country. And those were some of the top discussions. We know on Friday, the secretary addressed the people that were there at the event. And he brought EPA Administrator Regan down. And the thing that was interesting to hear from farmers was they were interested to hear what Secretary Vilsack had to say. And they're wary about what they were going to get told by the EPA. And that was going across the board. Iowa farmers, you know, southern farmers, everybody was a little worried about what was the EPA going to have to say. But a lot of it was centered around a farm bill. You know, we can't build the industry up on something that has no foundation or an old foundation, and we need to get it done. But they're highly doubtful they're going to see any progress in time before, you know, the August recess, and those who are needing to recampaign for their seats, you know, are going to be leaving town for a while.
Yeah, absolutely, Dustin. And so not only are our farmers and ranchers caught up in horrible political cycles about what people want to do or don't want to do here in Washington, D.C., but there are real practical issues and deadlines that our farmers and our ranchers face as they are applying for different programs. So will one program remain the same? Will it change? Will there need to be different standards? They don't know that. And what we know is we have to provide certainty for our farmers. And they are not getting that right now. So while we have a one-year extension in place for those programs, we need to understand that our farmers are in a very different cycle than the election cycle that we face as politicians. They need to know when they apply for a program, that program is going to be there, that it is going to be funded, and have the specifications as laid out through through the USDA or other agencies. So we're just really grappling with this right now. And I feel that Chairwoman Stabenow is doing a true disservice to those that are engaged in agriculture by not really coming back to the table to work on this. And again, what I want to stress is that this is a bill that costs the taxpayers $1.5 trillion. And most people out there that aren't in ag, they will look at that bill and say, why are those farmers getting all this money? It's not our farmers that are getting this money. It's all of these external interests. And yes, a lot of it is food focused. It is SNAP focused. But those are the programs that are outside of the scope of what the farmers are doing on their own land. So we need to focus on getting more farm in the farm bill. Everybody needs to come back to the table. We need to take a look at what's going on in 20.
It's March. Even though for the most part, this winter has been overly mild, there's still nothing quite like the excitement of planting season and new life and growth right around the corner. It's exhilarating. It's exciting. It's fun. It can be breathtaking. Also be a very dangerous time of year. Hi there, Andy Peterson, the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network, with a quick reminder of a few things we can do to help reduce that risk during the very busy planting season, like thoroughly inspecting all equipment before going to fields. Try to rest up, as chronic fatigue can have the same effect on your body as drugs and alcohol, and slowed reaction times can be the difference sometimes between life or death. Planting season is a sprint, yet it's also important to do it right and be cognizant of what's happening around you and come home safely to your families each and every evening. We want to be around to have our discussions about the growing season after planting season has concluded. This message brought to you by your friends at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. Well, the market's a little weaker today, as we've been talking about. Some of that is better weather in South America. We'll get Riley Will, at least our weekly South American cropping update, coming up a little bit later on. But next, those specific statewide cash price numbers on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. Dustin Hoffman with the latest in just a moment. Sit tight from your authentic, official, and trusted voice of Iowa agriculture.
Time to run down those basis numbers for you here on Iowa Ag Matters on this Wednesday. I'm Dustin Huffman. Let's start at ADM Burlington. They're 12 cents under on corn, 414. Soybeans a nickel under at 1143. Cargill and Eddyville, they're 15 cents under on corn, cash bid 411. New Co-op Algona, 20 cents under on corn, 406. Soybeans 60 cents under, cash bid 1088. At Ag State Sheldon, they're 4 cents over on corn, 430. Soybeans 73 cents under at 1075. Ag State Elta, 21 cents under on corn, 405. Soybeans, 67 cents under. They're at 1081. Cargill Cedar Rapids, they're even today on corn. They're at 426. Soybeans, a nickel under. They're at 1143. Nexus and Marble Rock, they're a dime under on corn, 416. Soybeans, 50 cents under. They're at 1098. Lincoln Way Ethanol Nevada, a dime under on corn, cash bid, 416. ADM Des Moines, 12 cents under on soybeans, cash bid 1136. New Co-op Red Oak, 20 cents under on corn, 406. Soybeans, 50 cents under at 1098. Mid-Iowa Cooperative Green Mountain, 35 cents under on corn, cash bid 391. Soybeans, 58 cents under at 1090. New Co-op Sheraton, 35 cents under on corn, 391. Soybeans, 55 cents under, cash bid 1093. Walk-On Feed Ranch, 24 cents under on corn. They're at 402. Soybeans, 45 cents under at 1103. New Co-op Glidden, 20 cents under on corn. Cash bid, 406. Soybeans, 50 cents under at 1098. And Innovative Ag Services Farley, they're 20 cents under on corn, 406. Soybeans, 41 cents under with a cash bid at 1107. Cargill Muscatine, they're closed for the season. They'll reopen on the 1st of April. The office is open for regular business. Cash, corn, and soybean bids are subject to change without notice. Always check with your local elevator when making sales to obtain the most recent price. And that's been a check of your basis numbers here on Iowa Ag Matters. We'll be back right after this quick message.
If you thought soybeans were only used for tofu, think again. From tires and adhesives to next-generation asphalt, soy is used to create over 1,000 industrial products and counting. Thanks to your soy checkoff investment, the sky's the limit for Iowa soybean farmers. Oh, and speaking of skies, did I mention soy is also used in sustainable aviation fuel? The Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soy Checkoff, is driven to deliver for Iowa's 40,000 soybean farmers. Learn more at iasoybeans.com.
Lots more to come market-wise here on Iowa Ag Matters, including some market analysis on the livestock side of the fence and also a complete rundown of those midday grain and livestock numbers. Mark and Andy will have those for you coming up next as well. Don't forget about the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network market podcast available. Check out more at iowaagnet.com. More Iowa Ag Matters on the way.
Well, after a nice market bump last week, we've kind of pulled back here the last couple of days, and anticipation building for the WASD report coming up on Friday, as well as maybe some long-term dryness in South America. Greg McBride from Allendale with us now on Iowa Ag Matters. Andy and Dustin and Riley Smith visiting with Greg on all of those topics and then some.
First off, Greg, what's the latest weather patterns looking like for Brazil and Argentina?
Brazil, across the northern sections of the country, has very good rains. And then it's decent across the rest of the country, but there are some spotty rains across the bulk of the mainland. So we'll continue to watch that to see if that brings any issues with dryness for that second crop corn as it's under development. Argentina, the eastern coast is seeing some rain, but further inland, a little bit on the drier side. You go out to the 6 to 10 day forecast, and it's kind of more of the same. You are seeing a little bit of drier areas across the northern section of Argentina, the western section of Argentina, but the eastern half of the country is getting some rain. So some of those areas that are getting some of the better rains are areas that are big producing areas, but it's kind of right on the edge of the areas where they really need to see it. Again, Brazil, still some spotty rains, but pretty good across most of the country. Nothing that really stands out as a major issue. 11 to 15 day forecast shows dryness across all of Argentina. That'll be something to watch as we are getting into a very key time frame for them down there as far as their development. Brazil is still seeing very good rains on this go around. Looks like about the entire country is pretty well covered in decent rain, so they shouldn't have any major issues. If anything, they might be talking a little bit about some delayed harvest, but at this point, I don't think it's enough to really be a major issue for them.
All right, and then speaking of harvest, looking at that progress in Brazil, soybeans, first crop corn, how is that looking at this point?
Still moving well ahead of schedule. The 5-year average puts them at 42%. Last year, they were 40% for soybean harvest, and right now they're 6%. So moving ahead of pace and staying ahead of pace so far. Some of that is just due to some of the lower yields in some areas. That doesn't necessarily mean that the overall country is seeing substantially lower yields, but it's some of those early planted and early harvested areas that are running a little bit faster because of those lower yields.
And then, of course, this Friday we have some reports coming out, some WASD information coming out. What are we thinking we're going to see from those South American numbers on that data?
Well, interestingly enough, there's not a heck of a lot of change to Argentina. We've had a kind of a give and take conversation throughout the last couple of months when it comes to Argentina. There've been some really big issues with some heat and dryness down there. But they continue to lean on better or at least sustaining a rebound from last year's drought. So we're talking about 55 million tons for corn, 50.23 for beans, and that's similar to where they were at, where the USDA was at last month. On the Brazil side, though, it's interesting because the CONAB made a substantial cut to their corn and bean numbers last month. The USDA chose not to. They were at 124 for corn and 156 for beans. Right now, the average guess for Friday's report is going to be just shy of 122 million tons for Brazil's corn crop, which is down about 2 million tons, and then down about 3.75 million tons for soybeans, to 152.28. That's also still well above where CONAB came in on their bean number last month after a substantial cut.
All right, Greg, lots of great information today. For those of our listeners who'd like to get in touch and learn more from the folks at Allendale, how can they do that?
Give us a call at 800-2-MARKET. That's 800-262-7538.
Well, thanks to Riley getting that insight from Greg on what's going on down there south of the equator in South America. Andy Peterson's back with us now. He's got the three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Number three.
It should be coming, that key waiver to allow for E15 sales year-round in 2024, the final piece to a puzzle of finally solving the issue of allowing E15 sales year-round permanently.
I think it's consistent with the last 2 years when they issued a waiver. Whenever it was done last year, I'm pretty sure that they will have the resources and the data necessary to make the decision and have this decision stick.
So much needed good news for Iowa corn producers.
Number two.
Seeing a modest improvement in farmer sentiment, according to the Purdue University CME Group Ag Economy Barometer, which rose modestly in February to a reading of 111. The values don't mean a whole lot other than for comparison purposes. Now, wheat crop prices continue to weigh on financial expectations as mid-February Eastern Corn Belt cash prices for corn and soybeans were 8% lower than just 2 months ago.
Number one.
Starting with the soil as a key driver of yield, it may be somewhat of a new concept, but making healthy decisions for your soil can certainly improve your bottom line. Stephen Gillens is Practical Farmers of Iowa Senior Research Manager and says the results of several crop rotation, no-till, and cover crop trials will help you make the best decision in your operation.
We find that farmers make all kinds of investments and decisions on the farm, but they don't always have scientific data from their own fields to either inform those decisions or help them make those decisions about whatever they're kind of curious about. And historically, we've found at Practical Farmers that by taking part in on-farm research trials, farmers have a chance to put things to the test scientifically. And in this case, we are focusing in on soil health investments on the farm.
He says they're looking for participants at practicalfarmers.org. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
If you thought soybeans were only used for tofu, think again. From tires and adhesives to next-generation asphalt, soy is used to create over 1,000 industrial products and counting. Thanks to your soy checkoff investment, the sky's the limit for Iowa soybean farmers. Oh, and speaking of skies, did I mention soy is also used in sustainable aviation fuel? The Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soy Checkoff, is driven to deliver for Iowa's 40,000 soybean farmers. Learn more at iasoybeans.com.
Well, we're going to get a full rundown of those midday markets now. The grain and livestock numbers market. Andy got that coming up next here on Iowa Ag Matters from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
This is the Midday Market Update on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson. One reason that the market has been struggling to rally is competition from less expensive Ukrainian corn that is said to be offered at $168 per metric ton compared to the U.S. at $189. Talk that China will spend money in an effort to increase storage and attempt to increase corn production is offering weakness in the market. They are making efforts to become more self-sufficient and increase their food security. This week's weather forecast for South America looks mostly favorable for the corn crop in both Brazil and Argentina. Traders are awaiting Friday's WASDE report. Not much change is expected in regard to the U.S. corn numbers. However, the focus will likely be on Brazil and just how much the USDA may adjust their production forecast. Brazil soybeans are being offered at $413 per metric ton versus the U.S. at $447. Additionally, Argentinian meal is also below U.S. offers at around $372 per ton compared to with $397 here. There is some talk that Brazil will start to dry out in about 2 weeks. If this turns out to be true, it could offer stress to the later planted crops. Indonesia announced an increase to their domestic biofuel mandate. Ultimately, this may lower their exports and affect both the palm and soybean oil markets. Palm oil is trading up 2.4% at a six-month high. That's the latest on the grains. Here's Andy Peterson with more livestock news.
All right, Mark, we start with beef first, where daily estimated cattle slaughter totals came in at 122,000 head. That's 3,000 less than a week ago. Boxes at midday are a little bit lower as the spread decreases as well. 88 loads of choice cuts selling down $1.51 at $304.79. Select 30 cents weaker at $294.87 on 21 loads of movement, and that spread is down below 10 bucks again to $9.92. Pork side of the equation here. Daily estimated slaughter totals turning up at 454,000 head. That is substantially less than a week ago at about 42,000 head and 30,000 less than a year ago. Cash market update at midday. Let's wrap up yesterday's numbers for comparison purposes. Barrows and gilts, producers sold on a carcass basis. Negotiated purchases, a pretty strong run, about 6,000 head of sales. Weighted average price at $74.63, so that market 47 cents stronger yesterday. Formula purchases about an average number of sales at 152,000 head and change. With a weighted average price of $80.26, that market was up $1.20. As far as what's happening at midday here, a big run of negotiated purchases over 7,200 head, and the market is sharply higher, up $3.48 to $76.36. The formula purchases 106,000 head, so a pretty light run there. Weighted average price right at $80, so we're 26 cents weaker. Now that the calendar shows March, prep for the 2024 planting season is well upon us, and we'd like to remind you of a few extra steps to help reduce the safety risk during the heat of that planting season. There's the obvious: make sure all that safety equipment is in proper working order as part of your routine preparations. But also try to rest up, as chronic fatigue can have the same effect on your body as drugs and alcohol, and slowed reaction times can be dangerous. This message furnished by the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
At midday, May corn is down 0.75 cents at 424.5. May soybeans down 5 even at 1144 even. May soybean meal down $2.70 at 327.20. May soybean oil up 49 cents at 45.53. On the Merck. April live cattle down 40 cents at 187.60. March feeder cattle down $1.57 at 250.72. April lean hogs down $1.10 at 84.07. That was a check of the midday markets on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson.
Continuing the market analysis on the Iowa Ag Matters program, Andy and Dustin and Mark now visiting with Jim McCormick from Ag Market Focus on the livestock trade.
On the other side of the ag marketplace, what's happening in the protein sector?
Right now, if you look at the protein sector at this point in time, it's in more of a sideways trade here recently. And I think that's kind of be where we're going to continue to be at this point in time. Just more sideways chop. Overall, the macro economy, we got a lot of that coming at us, Mark. We had the ADP number came out today. I think they were looking for 150. We got 140,000 jobs. You got Powell testifying on Congress over the next couple of days. And then on Friday, you have the jobs number. So we'll see how the protein market looks at the overall macro structure of the market. Right now, I think overall, the jobs numbers are probably going to be a little bit good. I think on the Powell front, maybe the trade's going to be a little bit disappointed. I think he's going to keep tapping the brakes down on the idea they're going to make any aggressive interest rate cuts just yet. They don't want to put this economy into a stall mode by waiting too long to cut. But on the other hand, Mark, if they cut it too quick, this inflation that they're slowly tapping down could come right back at us. So we're going to keep an eye on that. But those are the big macro fronts that the protein market will be looking at this week.
We have a very unfortunate situation right now in Texas with wildfires throughout the panhandle, and it's causing a lot of issues. You know, there's been loss of livestock even. Has there been enough of a loss there at all that it has affected the marketplace, or it is expected to affect the cattle marketplace?
Right now, I don't think it's had a huge impact at the moment. I mean, it's obviously devastating if you're in that part of the country. And I've read some articles say it's going to take years, if you know, to essentially rehabilitate from it. But right now, although it is a problem, it, in the big picture, it's not having a big impact on the market.
The hogs finally seem to be, at least for the very least, Jim, on a much better footing than they were even just a short time ago. But what do you see as the overall situation for the hogs?
Right now, I think they're getting a little bit technically overbought. I think they could pull back. I mean, if I'm a hog producer right now, I might consider buying puts under the market. Like I said, we've had one heck of a run-up. We are technically overbought, maybe see a little bit of a correction. But overall, I think you got to be somewhat friendly going into the proteins into the summertime as we get this growing season started. It feels like it's going to be a very early spring, at least here in Chicago. And, you know, overall, the economy is holding in there pretty well. China came out and said they're going to cut back on their herd size a little bit. Maybe that leads to a little bit more demand for U.S. hogs as well. So I think overall the picture for the protein market still looks pretty good.
Yeah, it might be pretty soon here. We're calling April the summer grilling season with how the weather has been here so far this spring. Jim, what's the best way for our listeners to get in touch with agmarket.net for more information?
You can reach us at 844-424-6758. You can reach me directly at 815-665-0461. Better yet, go to agmarket.net and sign up for our free look at our research.
Well, thank you for all the information here today. We really appreciate it. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you.
Wildfires have devastated Texas ranches, burning millions of acres of rangeland, destroying buildings and fences, and killing thousands of cattle. You can help by donating to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. To make a tax-deductible donation, go to texasfarmbureau.org and click on the red Wildfire Relief Fund button at the top of the page. 100% of every dollar you donate goes directly to a Texas rancher to help them rebuild. Go to texasfarmbureau.org to donate. This message from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Well, coming up next, some ideas for you on perhaps gaining and maximizing efficiency. What do I mean? Well, there's some interesting research going on as far as soybean seeding rates, and less could be more. Portion of the Pod's Potential podcast coming your way next on Iowa Ag Matters.
Well, as we mentioned at the top of the show, Andy already on his way to work on the next episode of Pods of Potential, but the new one just hit here last week. And Andy, what do we got lined up here for this part of the discussion that we're going to be talking about today?
Maximizing efficiency, which is what we're looking at right now in regard to soybean seeding rates and some unique trial, not only results from last year, but opportunities as well to improve that efficiency on your farm with some great research that may actually lead to better yields from lower populations due to the agronomic nature of how soybeans grow and develop. More now from the latest Pods of Potential podcast, visiting with research agronomist Drew Clemenson and Southwest Iowa farmer Brian Fager.
We monitor the satellite maps weekly on climate, and so I was, you know, I kind of watched it. You could see it on the sat maps. You can see it, all the different blocks. But
really?
then visually going out there, you can also see it. So I'm not going to lie, it's like, as things really got dried down, you're going out there and you're watching, you're like, really, the 170,000 seeding blocks really stood out because there's more seeds there initially. So it looks fuller and sure. And so it looks like, oh, there's no way. I was like, I've been thinking about this wrong. We should have been pushing the pops the other way. And, you know, because I've already been trending. You know, we were probably in that 130 to 140,000 seed per acre environment already before we were doing this trial. And I was like, man, was I thinking about this wrong? You know, just visually. But then you go out there and start combining, and you're like, well, that was not the case at all. I mean, the combine always tells the story and gets the final say. And, you know, in my experience, you know, these 110 and 140 bushel environments, three out of four was 110. I think one out of the plot was 140, but generally speaking, the 110s won my plot.
So, wow. That's
pretty substantial. Is some of that, Drew, hybrid specific, I would imagine, maybe to a degree?
It can be. And then that's maybe an aspect that we don't have our finger on quite yet.
Sure.
Working through your seed dealer, if you have the intention of planting a lower population, then it's a conversation to have with your seed dealer as to what variety is going to do best in that environment. And like you said, where it is, doesn't have as much competition from its neighbor.
Yeah. More research yet to do, obviously, so much more left to learn. You mentioned you're still digging into the data. I imagine that process will continue and the outcomes will be known at some point. How can we find out more about the 2023 trials once all of that stuff is compiled and released?
Yeah, right. So on our website, it's always a great resource to find that data under a research tab on iasoybeans.com. Where's all of our individual reports end up, and there will be updates as we go throughout the growing season here into 2024 with that ever-evolving data that we're learning from 2023. And so that's the best resource right now, is to stay up to date with what we're doing.
Ryan, how did the results that you saw on your farm from last year change maybe your approach to soybean seeding rates here in 2024?
Well, I think generally speaking, we're going to trend lower. I think we're going to be, you know, broad acre base. I think we're going to be probably between 110 and 120, you know, at a broad level. But I think what I'd love to do is replicate the same trial we did on the same type of ground. But I think the second thing we need to do is we actually need to pick out some of the poor ground and do the same and the same trial on some of the poorer ground and see where we're at there. So that way we can come back maybe in 2025 and we can optimize the scripts based upon what we've learned the last two seasons.
You can hear more from that conversation. The latest pods a potential episode on our website at iowaagnet.com. Dustin and I wrap things up in just a moment.
Wildfires have devastated Texas ranches, burning millions of acres of rangeland, destroying buildings and fences, and killing thousands of cattle. You can help by donating to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. To make a tax-deductible donation, go to texasfarmbureau.org and click on the red Wildfire Relief Fund button at the top of the page. 100% of every dollar you donate goes directly to a Texas rancher to help them rebuild. Go to texasfarmbureau.org to donate. This message from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
If you thought soybeans were only used for tofu, think again. From tires and adhesives to next-generation asphalt, soy is used to create over 1,000 industrial products and counting. Thanks to your soy checkoff investment, the sky's the limit for Iowa soybean farmers. Oh, and speaking of skies, did I mention soy is also used in sustainable aviation fuel? The Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soy Checkoff, is driven to deliver for Iowa's 40,000 soybean farmers. Learn more at iasoybeans.com.
Well, Andy, as you're on the road there, you told us that as we were getting going here that you saw snow and field work on the same trip. What are you seeing out there?
Saw some anhydrous going on just west of Nevada, in fact. That was the only one that was going, but heard reports of it. Now I can confirm I have firsthand witness accounts of NH3 going on here in the state of Iowa in early March. That's it for Iowa Ag Matters today. Thanks to Dustin, Riley, Mark, and you for being here. And we'll see you tomorrow on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.